Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore. Joined by Mark Schindler. It's the Daily Ding live on YouTube and, of course, wherever you listen to podcasts. Post-game, right after Warriors-Lakers, and the Warriors pick one up at home, and the series is now 3-2. Mark, it's impossible to come back from a 3-1 deficit unless you take it to a Game 6, and the Warriors did. What do you think about the Warriors' game plan tonight?
Oh, man, I thought they were fantastic tonight. Obviously, Steph was incredible, but I thought the biggest swing factor for me was Draymond. I mean, we've talked about this on prior games, but when he comes out and is just even looking at the rim and getting any kind of aggression going as a scorer, it's a game changer. You know, the box score doesn't even fully paint it. Like, yeah, he had 20 points tonight, but I think when you look at how it's not even just like that he was looking to score, it was how quickly he was. It was huge and demonstrable in what they were doing.
Yeah, he actually was an asset to them going to the basket. I mean, Steph had a really nice handoff to him. And you know, 7 of 11 from the field for him, had 10 rebounds, 4 assists, a couple steals, a block, 20 points. The biggest thing was, Mark, I felt like he was completely under control in this game. This was like a textbook Draymond Green, peak of his powers, playoff game. Tom Izzo was in the house. So he was on his best behavior, and he really just thought his intensity level was higher than every single other player on the court, maybe aside from Steph Curry, but every other player was looking up to Draymond and his intensity in this game. You know, LeBron talked about the difference in playoffs and being able to close things out, and Draymond even said this on his podcast this week. Usually at this point, it's about who can go harder longer, and Draymond Green was the hardest one out there all night. But we should talk about Steph Curry, 27 points, only 3 of 11 from 3. But the Warriors came out very aggressive. They hit 7 threes in the first quarter. They only had a 4-point lead after one. Mark, that was a bad sign to me. I thought that the Warriors, with the way that they've kind of shot the ball and the inconsistency there, for them to hit 7 threes and only have a 4-point lead after one, that bode very well for the Lakers to start out.
Yeah, it felt like... Not that the Lakers were going to run away with this one, but it felt very much exactly like you're saying. Like everything was just kind of going right for the Warriors. It was like, okay, well, when the Lakers catch up and get their stuff together, it feels like they're going to eke this one out and the series is going to be over. Obviously, that didn't happen. I think part of what was such a big desire tonight is kind of like, you know, taking a little bit hand in hand from the series that we saw earlier with how important the glass has been, particularly on the offensive glass. I think that played out for the Warriors tonight big time. And part of that was what GP2 did. And he only had 6 boards, so it doesn't feel huge, but 3 of them were offensive boards. And I believe all 3 of those came in the second half. Or it was something like that. It was close. Like a lot of his boards felt timely in the second half, what they needed.
And they needed him after hitting seven threes in the first quarter. They only hit six the rest of the game. They started out the second half like 0 for 11 from three. So the shots weren't falling, but they were generating buckets inside. In the mid-range, you know, Steph was getting to some of his stuff. But like you mentioned, just getting rebounds and keeping Anthony Davis off the glass is just such a huge task for this team. But they won the assist battle. They had 29 to 24. They had more steals. They were 20 points off turnovers, and so were the Lakers. They didn't lose that battle. They only lost the point in the paint battle by 2 points. This has been sort of the crux of the series. The Warriors play better when they can score more inside. This is basic basketball. But when Anthony Davis gets pulled out of the paint the way that they were doing all night, then those backdoor cuts are open. Then those putback rebounds are there. And this is the recipe for success against Anthony Davis for the Warriors. We should note, Anthony Davis was fantastic in this game for the majority of the game. It was a force on defense and actually had a pretty good offensive performance. Even, you know, we talk about this every other game thing with Anthony Davis. I thought the first half of game five, he was much better defensively than the second half. But in this game, until he was out and even being dragged away from the rim, I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I agree. I think the biggest issue was, just with their defense in general, like their perimeter defense was all over the place, especially with, you know, how much they have struggled to play Jared Vanderbilt as the series has gone on. Like, he only played 11 minutes tonight. His minutes just keep decreasing as the series goes on. I think you really see some of their real weaknesses on the perimeter. Like, playing really big minutes. Honestly, their bench wasn't even the problem. But, like, I thought really rough defensive game from LeBron James. I thought that, like, you know, he had some okay moments and help, but he was getting dusted on closeouts repeatedly. And that was a big problem. Like, it felt like even with the Lakers having some, like, they had a couple of solid defensive stands, but it was the, like we're talking about, so much of this was, it wasn't the first shot or first look from the Warriors. It was, okay, we've swung the ball three or four times and you've reacted and we're just getting to things faster than you can and opening things up from there. And that was killer. Like, I mean, D'Lo continues to be really rough on that end as well, of course. And I mean, he had a better offensive game tonight as well, but still, I think they just, you can tell how much slower this team is. Just pure foot speed wise compared to where the Warriors are at.
Yeah. And LeBron wasn't really connected defensively just from the start of the game. I mean, he was like sort of lazily swinging at passes. It wasn't going to be a great defensive performance, in my opinion, from LeBron, because having that 3-1 cushion, I think his idea was come out there, try to keep it close, hope we can make a push late, steal this game in Golden State. But their attention seemed to have been on game six. So I want to go ahead and move there, because I do think that looking ahead is important when you get to the playoffs. Anthony Davis has to leave this game late after taking an inadvertent elbow from Kevon Looney. He's shaken up on the bench. They eventually take him to the back in a wheelchair. So apparently, I mean, pretty doozy at least. And maybe has to go into concussion protocol. We're not sure at this point. But the early reports from the locker room after speaking to Coach Darvin Ham, seems like he's okay, at least right now. We're hoping that, you know, we get more information. I'm assuming tomorrow he'll have to go do some tests or whatever. But if he's not available for game six, I mean, this is going to seven games. I just don't think the Lakers have the talent to win it without Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, AD's been the most important player in the series, like point blank period. So if he's not there, mainly I just hope that he's okay. But I mean, if he's not there, I agree. I think that get to game seven and see what goes on there. But yeah, I don't think they're winning a game without him.
Yeah, I mean, Lonnie Walker, who was the hero in game five for the Lakers, only 4 points in this game. But you can see where his speed and athleticism really bothers the Warriors. And if there's one thing that you can do with this Warriors team, you can outsize them and you can out-athleticize them. I mean, I think maybe getting Lonnie Walker involved in stuff a little bit sooner. I mean, he was more aggressive offensively late in this game. And I know that's a funny thing to say, like, all right, it's a playoff game. It's a game, you know, five. Get Lonnie Walker more involved. But he just had so much success in that game four in the fourth quarter that I really thought that we would have seen him turn loose a little bit sooner.
Yeah, I agree. I think he just brings a different dynamic as a guy who, instead of being like, he's probably, other than Dennis Schroeder, like, you know, the quickest downhill guy on their team, but so much of what gets him going, because his handle is not great, is, you know, coming relatively for a guard, I should say. Like, he's so good coming off screens and, you know, flying off other actions like that. And I think that with some of the other guys that they have, they can bake in some of those actions. Like, even it was a little bit rickety at times, but they had like this 3 or 4 minute stretch where he was kind of running their offense and the focal point for them, even with LeBron out on the court. LeBron was screening for him, running DHOs with him. Like, I kind of, like you're saying, like, I think that maybe there's something there and trying to bring more out of that. And I mean, we're going to have to see it in the next game for sure. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because he was mostly a non-factor tonight.
Yeah, he's super explosive, and he does weird stuff that other teams just, like, you don't anticipate a guard going through a pick and roll and then sort of hopping backwards once he goes through the screen. But he did that like in the paint and didn't get a shot out of it. But he just moves in a way that I think throws the Warriors off a little bit. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Speaking of burning up, we should move to the Eastern Conference, where we had another Game 5. Miami Heat going into New York thinking they're going to rip the Knicks' heart out. And guess what, man? We're going back to Miami. The Knicks pick up a big win, 112-103, and they almost blew another one, Mark. They almost blew another game.
Yeah, this was such a weird game to watch, man. Like, I don't want to do the, like, just strictly saying, oh, the shot making, you know, this is just that shot profile game. That certainly played a part. Like, the Heat were 13 of 43 from three tonight. They didn't shoot well. After shooting pretty well most of the series, or at least decently. They haven't shot like amazingly, but point, you know, you get what I'm saying. I do think a lot of this was just the Knicks' effort was a lot better tonight. Their intensity was matched. Like, they've played hard, but I think it's sometimes been they're getting dictated a lot instead of dictating themselves, and I thought that they were better with that tonight. It felt like they were first to the punch a little bit more. Which was huge. And I think the bigger thing was Mitchell Robinson was a big factor tonight after being a non-factor most of the series before. 5 offensive rebounds. They ended up, like, I was, you know, I'd never thought that I would see Hakimich or as Fred Katz put, Globin Robinson in a game. But he was huge tonight. Like, I loved seeing that from him. And yeah, it was really nice to see that.
He hit some clutch free throws, man. I always root for the guys that can't shoot free throws that get put on the line. He hit some clutch ones. He did go one of two at the end, but
he shoots it literally straight at the rim.
It's a straight line.
It is so hard to watch sometimes.
I wonder if they can't get him to watch some Tim Duncan tape. Tim Duncan actually used to do the same thing, and he would sort of hit front rim almost all the time, but just softly. And so the ball had a little bit more of a chance to go in. Maybe we got to get Mitch Robb on the Tim Duncan program. Send him down to San Antonio, do some work. But he was huge in this game. But the biggest player for the Knicks in this game was their smallest player, Jalen Brunson. 38 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. You mentioned a shot profile game. I mean, that's what it was from him. He was 4 of 10 from 3, 10 of 12 from the line. He scored it every way that you could. And this is what he did all year. This was a game that they needed him to step up in particular, and he did huge.
Yeah, the Heat just didn't really have an answer for him tonight with how well he was playing. He was able it feels like so much of this series, even with him being pretty good this series, I think that he's really struggled to use his physicality in the way that he's been able to most of this year to really dominate on the interior. But tonight was the first time where it was like, oh, hey, he's got it. He's getting into the paint. He's getting to where he wants. He's getting to his spots. He's able to get to the line now. I think one of the things that was most surprising me actually was how little we saw Gabe Vincent tonight. I wonder if that is something that going backwards if they would change up at all. They ended up playing Kyle Lowry quite a bit more than Gabe Vincent down the stretch. And I think Gabe has been a lot better on Jalen than Kyle has, just to be fair. Like, I mean, to be like, again,
well, to Kyle's be fair, Kyle was series, great. But he was pretty good in this game. He did miss a couple of open looks, you know, in the last like minute or so, but he hit a couple big shots for them that really brought him back and gave him a shot to win. So, you know, I think it's a matter, if I'm projecting here for Spo, it's a matter of, all right, you know, Kyle is maybe having a little bit better of a game, but I think I'm with you. Dance with the ones that you brought with. And Gabe has been so good for them down the stretch. And like you mentioned, a little bit more length out there defensively. So you can bother these guys, keep them from getting to their spots. RJ Barrett and Julius Randle combined for 50 points. You add that to the 38 that Brunson got. That's 88 points from your big three. That's huge for the Knicks. That's what they need. But they're, you know, they're not getting any production from anybody else. And that could be a problem when we get to game six. Look, your stars are going to perform, but you expect your role players to perform at home. And man, they just didn't really give them a lot.
If you want the craziest stat of tonight, obviously the Knicks have been known, and just Tibbs in general, have been known for playing a really short rotation. I mean, it's typically eight and a half throughout the regular season. It's been closer to like 7.5 in the playoffs, and they went to the extreme tonight. Jalen Brunson and Quentin Grimes stayed on the court the entire game. They both played 48 minutes. Josh Hart, who has really struggled to have an imprint on the last three or four games, played 9 minutes tonight because the Heat are just leaving him wide open. It's mucking up New York's offense. So instead of, you know, adding any wrinkles, it's like, okay, we're just going to cut his minutes out completely just about. Isaiah Hartenstein ended up playing most of the bench minutes, and Obi Toppin played a little bit. But, yeah, I am interesting to see what that means for next game. But also at the same token, like, okay, well, you're not getting the next game if they don't both play 48 minutes tonight, I think is other thing.
More coaches should think this way, man. Like, look, I'm going to play my five best guys as much as I can, and we're going to hopefully win. And if we don't, at least we played our best guys. By the way, shout out to Quentin Grimes.
Yeah.
Good defensive game from him, but no play was more incredible than – did you see the play where he got kind of caught on a screen? Looked like he banged knees, and he was – he was a little bit hobbled there, and Jimmy Butler goes to attack him. Quentin Grimes winds up with a steal. It was an impressive steal. He was off balance. You could see he was trying to hop on one foot. That was a hell of a play. But I want to swing it actually away from Grimes to the guy who tried to attack him, Jimmy Butler. See, I thought Jimmy Butler had a good opportunity there to show us if he was healthy. I don't know if he's quite 100%. I mean, clearly he's not, but I don't know if he's 75%. I expected Jimmy Butler to be able to turn the corner on Quentin Grimes there pretty easily. And, you know, this is late in the game. Maybe Jimmy Butler is a little bit sore, 43 minutes in this game. But I'm starting to worry. Are we seeing some of the ankle issue start pop up in this game? You know, 5 of 12 from the field, wasn't as forceful. You didn't feel Jimmy as much in this game as we're used to feeling in the playoffs. What do you think about Jimmy Butler in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I thought his defense was awesome, and he still did a lot of really good things. But exactly like you're saying, I mean, we're talking about a guy who has been the best player in the playoffs, just about to, you know, being more like, okay, I'm looking like a top 5 of 10 guy in the playoffs right now. And I expect that to revert just because the same thing that happened in game one when he went down, or was game two? I can't remember off the top of my head which game he went down in initially, or he got hobbled in initially, and then he came back the next night and was incredible. So I would probably expect that from him just because that's what he's done. But exactly like you're saying, I think it's hard to evaluate the playoffs sometimes with this, because like even Quentin Grimes had a really good season, was fantastic as a starter, gets the injury late in the year, and then it's been kind of a non-factor in the playoffs. Like, he's really struggled to assert himself. This was probably the best game he's played in the playoffs so far. When you're looking at it all around, like, it wasn't even just the defense. Like, he was really good as a secondary facilitator. He was active as a shooter and getting going, you know, off the ball and making things happen with that. And like you mentioned, that defensive stand was his biggest play he's had in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think I'm hoping for both guys to be healthy and ready to go as much as they can, man. For the next game.
Yeah, and by the way, got to point out, Duncan Robinson, 5 of 10 from 3, 17 points. All these guys from Miami, they just kind of did nothing all year. Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler was actually really good all year, but not playoff Jimmy. They've rope-a-doped us. I mean, just all season long on everything. And so maybe this game was just another example of it where they're just like, you know what? I think we got a shot. We can try to get it close. And again, it's kind of the LeBron thing. We're thinking about game six. But I don't know, man. I'm worried about Jimmy Butler's ankle. The fact that he couldn't take advantage of the mismatch that he had when Quentin Grimes was hurt. I don't know. I've just not seen Jimmy Butler hampered like that. And I just didn't feel like he had the burst that we're used to seeing out of him. But game six for both of these series are going to be Friday. Potential game sevens on Sunday. Do you have any kind of prediction? I mean, we know that the Corgi has told us that the Warriors are coming back from the 3-1 deficit. They're going to win this in seven. So we already know how you feel there, Mark, because you're a dog guy. You're not going against the Corgi. What about Miami? Are they going to win this thing in six?
Yeah. I think I would probably still, sorry to all my Knicks friends, but I still think I would pick Miami in this. Again, like it depends on how Jimmy looks, but I just have a lot more confidence in Miami to have a better game than they did tonight. Like this felt like one of their 30th percentile games and one of the 80th or 90th for the Knicks. So just based on doing the math and doing what we've seen in the playoffs so far, I'd be pretty confident in winning this.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. For Mark Schindler, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding, y'all.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.